Remarks of the President, Dayton, Ohio, 31 October 1952.
Thank you very, very much. I certainly do appreciate this most cordial welcome. I appreciate the fact that your good mayor and Mrs. Cox came to the station to meet me this morning, and I am sincerely sorry this machine here doesn't seem to be working. I guess it's all right. That the governor, Cox, can't be here this morning, but he sent me a note and told me that the doctor wouldn't let him come. I hope he'll be in perfectly good shape and that he'll live a long, long time. I think he's one of the great men of this country. I've come here today with one purpose in view. I've come to ask you to vote for Adlai Stevenson for president. For nearly 6 weeks now, I've been campaigning up and down the country, urging the people to make him president of the United States and give him a solid Democratic majority in the Congress, a kind of majority that will help him to carry through the pledges in the platform of the Democratic Party. I have taken an active part in this campaign, not for my own sake, but for the sake of the people of this country who have had confidence in me. I'm a peculiar kind of a Democrat, I think, because I'm grateful to the Democratic Party for what it's done for me. I've had every honor that the Democratic Party can give a man, and I'm here to tell you that I'm not like some of these birds after they get everything they can out of a party to wring it out like an old sock and throw it aside. I'm going to be a Democrat as long as I live. My only interest now is to be sure, if I can, that I leave behind me in the White House a man who will work constantly for the plain, ordinary people of this country, as I have tried to do. And as Franklin Roosevelt tried to do before me, we have made great progress in this country in these past 20 years, great gains for the people, for the everyday people. I want to see these gains secured. I want to see still further progress in the 4 years ahead. That is why I am campaigning for a Democratic victory on November the 4th. I'm doing this for you. Because your jobs, your welfare, your very hopes for peace are all at stake in this election. Let me explain why this is so. For 20 years, your government has been working under Democratic leadership to secure prosperity and peace in the world. Much has been accomplished. You can surely see that right here in Dayton. 20 years ago, the economy of this city was knocked into a cocked hat. When the Republicans left office in 1932, Dayton was chiefly noted for the great number of unemployed and the amounts of money lost in its bank failures. Today, your city is a thriving center of manufacturing and trade, with good jobs at good wages and a most promising economic future. As for peace, your country is now engaged in a great enterprise, rallying the strength of the whole free world to halt and counter the menaces of communist imperialism and stop communist aggression in its tracks. That is the meaning of Korea. We went into Korea to stop aggression there before it could spread to some other place closer to home. Korea is the common fight of all free people against communist aggressors. Captain Jehara of Wichita, Kansas, put it right and simply when he said, "We are fighting in Korea now so we won't have to fight in Wichita. And I might say, so we won't have to fight in Dayton, Ohio. Now, my friends, the election on November the 4th, next Tuesday, is going to decide whether our country and you people here shall continue to make progress toward greater prosperity and lasting peace, or whether we shall slide backward toward depression and a world war. Why do I say this? I say it because I know what the Republicans are really after. I know from experience what they will do, because I have been fighting them ever since I came to the Senate 17 years ago, and I know them pretty well. What they will do is to follow reactionary policies at home and isolationist policies abroad. The Republican Party is still the party of big business, big lobbies, big banks, great corporations, the oil lobby, the power lobby, the real estate lobby, and all the rest. These are the fellows who pay the party's bills and lay down the policies for the candidate to follow. As evidence of this, I offer you the testimony of your own senior senator, Mr. Republican himself. If anybody knows what goes on in his party, Senator Taft is surely the man. The other day, the Indianapolis Times printed his own story of how and why the Republican candidate came to be nominated for president. Let me read this to you. I quote from the issue of October the 12th, and it says, and I quote, Senator Robert A. Taft believes he lost the 1952 Republican nomination for president because of New York financial interests and the fact many newspapers turned themselves into propaganda sheets for his opponent, Dwight D. Eisenhower. And he goes on to say, the cause of defeat, as listed by Senator Taft, is first, it was the power of the New York financial interests and a large number of businesses subject to New York influence who had selected General Eisenhower as their candidate at least a year ago. That ends the quote from Senator Taft, and that tells the story of who is running the Republican candidate. And what does that mean to you? Well, remember the record of the Republican 80th Congress. In that Congress, it meant the Taft-Hartley anti-labor law. It meant reduction in Social Security coverage. It meant tax relief for the rich. It meant the sliding scale of price supports for farmers. And remember, the Republican platform this year endorses the 80th Congress and all its acts. My friends, these people have not changed a bit in the last 4 years. They are still bitterly opposed to almost all the progressive measures that the New Deal and the Fair Deal have accomplished for the people. Think that over, my friends. Your welfare is at stake. When you go to the polls on Tuesday, you'll be voting for your own paycheck. Remember that. And remember, too, you'll be voting for your future and your children's future. You'll be voting for your chances for a peaceful world. The Republican candidate for president has now promised to put tax relief ahead of national security. He has promised huge cuts in federal expenditures for national defense and aid for our allies. He has never said specifically what part of our defenses he would cut, but it is obvious that he would have to make extraordinary slashes in our military establishment. He would have to reduce the number of air groups, cut down the ground forces, eliminate reserve training, lay up warships. He would have to stop procurement of new weapons and supplies and cancel research projects such as those you are conducting at Wright Field right now. He would have to do not one, but many things in order to make good on the savings he promised so carelessly. Cuts of the size he has proposed would also have to come out of the aid we give our allies to help them defend themselves against communism. He's not said how he would handle this, whether we'd cut off some countries entirely or slash them across the board, leaving them all with inadequate assistance. But whichever way it is done, it would be a heavy blow to the morale and the safety of our allies in Europe and in Asia. This kind of budget cutting means a policy of weak defenses here at home. It means weak defenses for our allies abroad. This, my friends, is no time for the United States to put into the White House a professional soldier who owes his nomination to the Wall Street bankers. My friends, this is no time to place within one heartbeat of the White House a young man of very limited experience whose expenses are paid by oil men, real estate men, and tax lawyers. And finally, this is no time to put the Congress in the hands of the reactionary, isolationist, old guard Republicans. That kind of combination cannot be trusted with the welfare of our people, the prosperity of our country, or the peace of the world. My friends, if you are concerned about these things, you will go to the polls next Tuesday and vote the Democratic ticket. I urge upon you, be sure you do vote. And get your friends and neighbors to vote too. Those who stay at home on election day have only themselves to blame if they are saddled with bad government for 4 long years. Go to the polls and vote your own interest and your country's interest. In fact, vote for yourselves. If you do that, then Mike DeSalle will go to the Senate to fight for you. To fight for you as hard and faithfully as he did when he was running price controls. Tom Talbot will go to Congress where he will represent your interests. Frank Lausche will remain in your state capital giving you good government just as he has been doing. And the next president of the United States will be a man who's proved by all he's done that he is honest enough and courageous enough to face and meet the problems of the next 4 years. That man is the most able, most progressive governor of your neighboring state of Illinois, Adlai Stevenson.